The Darryl Webb Band has a brand new album on Mountain Fever Records. The name of the album is Lover's Leap. Darryl's been on this program several times. We're going to talk about Lover's Leap in a lot of detail. I have some fun talking to Darryl Webb. Excellent, excellent musician, band leader, and you're going to enjoy. If you've never seen Darryl, by the way, we talk about this a little bit in the conversation coming up. One of the more dynamic stage shows you're going to see in all of music, not just bluegrass. Real happy to have back one of my favorite entertainers, Darryl Webb of the Darryl Webb Band. Darryl, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. Listen, I understand right before we started a conversation, you just finished a set. Tell us where you were.
I'm in Gatlinburg, Tennessee, up here at the Old Smoky Distillery. We have a day job up here when we're not touring or doing road dates. You know, we play up here 3 to 5 days a week.
That's great.
So it keeps us pretty busy.
The reason I wanted to get with you again is I got in my hands here from Mountain Fever Records, the Darryl Webb Band, a brand new album. I think it'll do out on the street maybe February 10th, but Lover's Leap. And it's a fine album, and I wanted to talk to you about it.
Oh, great. Yeah.
First of all, let's get this out of the way. Sorry about the Steelers.
Yeah, me too.
I thought they'd be in this final game. I really did. Of course, how do you know what's going to happen? I live a little south of Cincinnati, so we don't have a football team here, so I try to find a good one to follow every once in a while.
I think everybody hates the Patriots. So.
Well, it seems to be. You know, I'll tell you, the Falcons have just really – I'll get to the record here in a minute, all right? This isn't why I called you, but the Falcons really have impressed me in the playoffs. I thought, wow, I really underestimated them.
Man, they did me too. That was a real shocker, the way that they beat Green Bay in that NFC Championship
game.
Man. I was blown away.
Yeah, all right. Well, okay, there we go. All right. The new album, Lover's Leap, is a fine album. And I will tell people listening, and we always try to extol people to go see music live. And if you've never seen Darryl Webb Band live, I don't know how that could possibly happen, but the Darryl Webb Band is one of the most professional appearance presentation. They come on stage and they hit it two or three right in a row. You got everything lined up and you just go for it. And this album, I think, really kind of lines up the same way. You start out at a nice pace and then you just go through your steps and a lot of great songs, stuff you've written, stuff you've borrowed from other people. But I'm telling the listeners out there, if they've not seen the Darryl Webb Band, they are missing one of the best onstage performances in bluegrass, in my opinion.
Well, I really appreciate that, Steve. You know, we try to keep our show moving and you know, interact with the audience as much as possible. And, you know, the way I see it is, you know, if you have a good time on stage, then the audience, they'll have a good time with you.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what I like to see. I like to see a bunch of smiling faces when I look out in the audience and see people that's listening to this and, you know, and just bobbing their head along with us. And you know, it makes it for a fun time.
The new thing is on Mountain Fever, and I will tell you that the folks at Mountain Fever, Mark and Melody and Kimberly, they take real good care of me. And I appreciate that. You're with a label and a bunch of promoters that take care of this end of the microphone, which is very helpful.
That's great.
The album starts off with a public domain, it's kind of a funkier intro to me than I've heard on Lost John before, but you bring in so many different sources. And Darryl, I kind of think in deep in your heart, you might be a little bit of a rock and roll guy, maybe kind of some blues stuff. I know you fool around with a Telecaster every once in a while, but some of these things clearly have this. Like, I think Lost John starts off just a little funkier than I've heard anybody else do it before.
Yeah, that was I'd heard a version of that by Hot Rise a long time ago, and that was when I found out that the tune actually had words to it. You know, it's a really old fiddle.
Yeah, it's always people hear as a fiddle, right.
Uh-huh. And, you know, I've heard several people play the tune, but didn't know it had words until, you know, I was probably 12 or 13 years old, and I heard Hot Rise do a version of it then. And then it, you know, kind of popped back up later on down through the years. And, you know, I'd heard somebody play it on the fiddle about a year ago, I guess it was. And, you know, I said, man, you know, that version that Hot Rise did of that with the words to it was a pretty good version. So, you know, we kind of changed it around and made our own did our own thing on it, and it turned out to be a great tune.
It's a great tune. Matter of fact, when the listeners of Unreal Bluegrass hear this interview, by the time they do, at the top of my program, I'm going to kick off with Lost John from that album, Lover's Leap. So by the time they get to hear, they will have heard that. So we're going to be talking about a tune they've already heard, and then we'll end this with another program, with another song also, as we're getting out of the interview. But it's a great tune. You go back to You Want a Stranger. You picked that up mm-hmm. from kind of a country. You pull in a lot of sources, Daryl, and I wasn't kidding about a little bit of the rock and roll thing. You have a lot. If anyone's seen you on stage, man, you could be rocking. You could be rocking on stage, but you pull in a lot of sources. And on the second cut on the album, you pull in from a pretty strong country tradition there.
Yeah. You know, that song, if you're thinking You Want a Stranger, it's a George Strait tune that actually we recorded a long, long time ago with a band that me and my sister played in called White River. It was back in the probably earlier mid-90s we did that record. And, you know, I always wanted to try to bring it back and do it with this band because I knew everybody here would just kill it, you know. Mm-hmm. And then, but going back to the whole rock and roll deal, you know, I listen to every kind of musical genre that you could possibly listen to. You know, I always tell everybody deep down inside, I'm a rock and roll guy.
I knew that.
You know, I love people like B.B. King, Stevie Ray Vaughan, you know, Joe Walsh. The list goes on and on.
I know. I could tell without even naming them. I knew what was in your... I knew that was what was deep down in there, and it comes out. And that's a great thing because, you know, you're committed to playing bluegrass all the time, but those other little features pull up every once in a while, kind of make your sound unique, I think, and I recognize it in mm-hmm. most of the stuff that I hear you do. Before I forget, before we go on any further, the members of the band on this new Lover's Leap album.
It's Tyler Collins on dobro, Jared Hensley on guitar, Cameron Keller on bass, Cody Hill on banjo, and myself on mandolin, and Aaron Ramsey produced the record and played bass on a couple songs, and Jeff Harton was a guest of ours, and he played dobro on a couple tracks on it.
Do you write many songs with your wife, Amanda?
I do, yeah.
The Lover's Leap, the next one up, is one that I think that you wrote with her. Am I correct on that?
Yeah, me and her wrote that song back this past summer. And, you know, we got to thinking about all these places, you know. We were actually making a trip home to Virginia. And on the way back, she, you know, I saw this sticker on this car that said Virginia is for lovers.
Yeah.
You know, I thought about that. You know, and then Amanda started talking about, you know, there's a place called Lover's Leap up in Fancy Gap, Virginia. And we got to reading the story about it and all the history about it. And that's how the Jeb Stuart Highway got named up there in Virginia. And ended up, we got to reading all the history about it. And, you know, Jeb Stuart was a farmer.
Yeah.
And, you know, he got to met this Indian girl that was from another completely different family. And the Indians and the farmers back then, they all had a big war going on between each other. So it was kind of almost like a 1850s kind of Romeo and Juliet.
It is.
Story.
It is. And it's a slower tune than you really are telling the story of the both of them. And, of course, Lover's Leap, you know, you can probably guess how it's going to end.
Yeah.
But it's a nice thing that you wrote that with your wife. Now, let me ask you this. Does your wife know that following Lover's Leap, this touching story of this star-crossed lovers, that right after that on the album, you have put on your own song, There's Nothing Like Women to Bring You Down?
You know, it's funny you bring that up, but yeah, I never thought about it that way.
I did.
You know, it does come right after that song.
Yeah, it does.
I actually wrote that song, it's been a couple years ago, I guess, and I never did do anything with it. You know, when I was writing it, I was thinking along the whole, you know, a Buck Owens kind of deal, you know, and I thought it'd be, you know, and I thought earlier on Breaking Down the Barriers, you know, we had She's Out of Here Because I'm Out of Hand.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, you know, we kind of need another fun song like that on this record. So that's pretty much how that came about. But it's a fun little tune to play, and it's really fun, and and it's funny, and people just get a kick out of it. Oh, yeah. We do it up here at Gatlinburg, and people love it. They ask for it all the time.
Is that the one? I believe that's the one where you string out the beginning of one of the words in the song. Am I right on that?
Yeah.
All right. Shoes.
Yeah, take your shoes. Yeah.
It's good. Now so there we have, you contributed to the writing of Lover's Leap with Amanda, and mm-hmm. and then you wrote Nothing Like a Woman after that. Then you have Always on the Move, which is, I think, is the only song you don't sing lead on. Am I right?
Right. Cameron Keller actually sang lead on that song, and I originally sang lead on it to start with, and then Cameron came in the band, you know, and I figured it would be good to feature another singer on the album, because, you know, people just get tired of hearing the same guy sing every song. But Cameron did a really good job on it. He nailed it.
Well, you're up there in the stratosphere behind him. By the way, was it last fall you had to give your voice a little bit of a rest?
I did, yeah. It was it started back in, actually, in March of this past year, and it, as the summer went on, I think it, the biggest problem down here is, you know, we hadn't had any rain for like 3 or 4 months.
Okay.
And it, you know, it got really dry down here, and I got worried that I was losing my voice. And, you know, I had a bunch of trouble from March up until October, and then after things started turning cold again, you know, my voice kind of gradually came back.
Okay.
And I went and saw 2 or 3 different doctors on it, and, you know, they really couldn't give me a description of what was going on. So
sounds good now.
Thanks for all the people praying for
me.
You know, and I'm back to normal again.
You're sounding good to me, bud. And then you visit with you borrow one from Norman Blake, one of my all-time favorite guitar picker storytellers with Orphan Annie. By the way, Always on the Move. There are always songs, I think, in touring bands that have relationship to the being on the road. And of course, Always on the Move is one. Orphan Annie is a Norman Blake tune. There's a couple other tunes on here that have to kind of do with, you guys just kind of sing about what you know, whether you write the songs or not. Being on the road is part of your life.
Yep, it sure is. It's like a marriage, man. You know, you get used to doing it, and you've done it so long. I've been doing it for almost 24 years now, and it's always good that, like you said, you don't plan on singing those songs about road life, but it kind of just works out that way.
And I know your experience, but if people are just tuning in and they're just now finding out who Darryl Webb is, you mentioned all the different, you've been singing, performing 20-something years. You've played with, give them a little bit of a taste of the bands that you've appeared with on a regular basis before striking out on your own.
Okay, I started out playing with the Lonesome River Band in 1994 when Dan Tominski left. I was 19 years old. I went on that, from there to play with J.D. Crow on 2 different occasions in 95, and then I think later on, 98 or 99, I started back and played with him for about another year and a half, and then we formed the band Wildfire, which was me, Robert Hill, Kurt Chapman, Phil Ledbetter, and Larry Crabtree.
I got them in my library here.
Uh-huh. I was in that band for about 7 or 8 years.
Hmm.
Went on from there to play with Rhonda Vincent and The Rage to Michael Cleveland and Flamekeeper for about 6 or 7 months. And then I just got the idea that I thought it would be a good thing to try it on my own for a while.
Well, I think you did. I think you certainly paid your dues, and I think it's showing off. And really, you learn so much from performing. And I do. I urge people this, to see Darryl Webb Band live, because your performance, you've taken all that you've learned from those bands and you put it into practice on stage. Now, we're talking about your album, but I think live music is just so much more.
It's, you know, going to see somebody live is completely different than seeing somebody, than listening to somebody on record.
Mm-hmm.
I think
I do too.
You know, you've got to have the live experience, really, before. I think my thing is, I think if somebody hears a band, they should go see them live before they buy the record.
That's,
you know, it just kind of makes everything a little better that way, I think.
And every time you see them live, it's different because all the conditions are different, the audiences are different. You get a little bit of different, even though the same songs or maybe the playlist is different or maybe it's the same, but it's always different. It's always different and fresh. And your band, Daryl, you always just you absolutely blow the audience away every time I've seen you, which is a bunch. I think you got a good read on what they're looking for.
Yeah, I've been. Speaking of reading people, I've been nicknamed the Peyton Manning of bluegrass.
Is that right?
Because we don't, whenever we go on stage, you know, we don't use a set list. I just kind of, you know, I pick out about four or five tunes, and we'll just play without saying a word. And, you know, I'll just kind of go from there. I'll just start looking out in the audience, you know, and if they like what they hear, then, you know, that pretty much gives you an idea of what they want to hear.
And you're up there. Omaha.
Yeah, that's right, Omaha.
Mountain Dan, I didn't mean to gloss over Orphan Annie, but I love Norman Blake, and I'm so glad that his music comes up, and you obviously have a connection there with that Orphan Annie tune. Mountain Dan's kind of a spooky song.
It is, yeah. Me and Jeremy Arrowwood, the guy used to be our bass player. We wrote that song about four or five years ago. We were the story just kind of, you know, I got to thinking about, you know, there's this rugged mountain guy that somebody needs to tell a story about, you know, because I've been down here in the mountains, you know, I grew up in the mountains my whole life, and you know, I got to thinking about this character, and you know, me and him kind of started collaborating on ideas about the character of the song, and it's got a really good twist at the end. It's probably one of my favorite things that I've ever written.
And don't give it away. I like the song. It's a nice story, and you do it well. And it's just spooky enough to pull you in. And we'll just leave it at that. They can pick up a Lover's Leap or See You Live somewhere and hear the full thing played out. Daddy's Drinking Shoes, you know, a Harley Allen tune in there.
I love Harley Allen. I always loved his writing. I actually got that song on a demo for when we were doing, I think it was Dream Big. And I've had that song in the back of my mind forever. And I love that song. You know, there's so many people that can relate to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, tell the audience I've heard it, but tell them a little bit, because it's an interesting, the object of this song, and you tell a little bit, but the object of the song, when you hear the title, you don't get it until you get the perspective of who's actually telling the story.
Yeah, it's actually a little boy telling the story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I was thinking the whole, what you were thinking, you know, when I first heard the title, I thought, man, this is kind of, well, this is really different. So I got to listening to the song, you know, and it just rips your heart out.
Oh yeah,
one of those really touching songs, and you know, it was kind of this along the same lines of Pistol in the Pen, which was from Breaking Down the Barrier.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of song,
yeah.
You know, I love those songs like that. And the thing with the Harley is, and what I like is about his writing so much, he can take the worst thing that's ever happened to somebody and tie it in with God at the end of all his songs. And that's why I love his writing so much. Harley was a genius.
He was magic. He was magic with words and a melody, and you do it really well, Daryl, and that leads you right into what I think is the one spiritual religious song. You'll go from that right into I'm Going That Way, which you can talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, we actually grew up singing that song in church all my life, you know. I hadn't thought about it until a little bit later on. I heard, you know, I used to do the song with J.D. Crowe, and that was kind of, you know, my little tip of the hat to my old boss, you know. Such a great guy he was, and the best banjo player on earth, in my opinion, one of the best banjo players on earth.
Like ringing a bell.
Yeah, and we needed, you know, a kind of a straightforward, traditional bluegrass gospel song for that record, so that's how that all came about. But it's a great song, and it's one of those that, you know, if you grew up in church and singing it from the hymn book like I did, you know, there's a lot of people that would, a lot of people will recognize the song, and you got to have at least one of those for every record that somebody can recognize.
Absolutely, you know? Absolutely. The you talk about being in the mountains, and the next tune on the album, Diggin', I think is important for a number of reasons. The whole coal mine experience and the coal miner experience and the illness as a result is not a thing of the past. It still goes on now. And it's still, I mean, it's still real. The need to go into the mine because you can't find, you know, you need to do something, but the diseases and digging, I think people need to know, Daryl, that this is not a historical reference. This happens every day. And digging, I think, is a song you can explain a little bit about that whole issue, which is still very much relevant.
It is, yeah. That song was written by Josh Miller, who wrote This Old Town for Breaking Down the Barriers, and he also written Ferryman. And then when I got that song, you know, I grew up being a coal miner's son.
I know.
I had worked in the coal mines for, you know, 15, 16 years.
I know.
And, you know, it's like you said, it's not a historical thing. You know, this thing happens every day.
Mm-hmm.
And there's people that, you know, that suffer every day.
Can't breathe.
Make a living.
They can't breathe.
Doing that kind of job.
Right. Yeah, it's a good one.
I love coal mining songs, and I love to sing about coal mining and telling the whole story about it, because, you know, where I grew up in the 80s, that was pretty much the booming thing over in West Virginia.
Yeah.
You know, that's how 85% or 90% of the state made their living.
That's right.
In the coal mine.
You always do have something about coal miners or coal in one. I think in almost every album, I'm just thinking through my head, there's always something in there that relate. Maybe not everyone, but I got to think that every album you've done, maybe just when I see you, there's always something about coal mining. I may be wrong on that, but it seems like there is. But yeah, Diggin' is. And now this last tune, this to me is 40 Acre Blues. This is what you'd want to kick off your live show with. When I see Daryl Webb come out, this is up-tempo, you know, high-speed Daryl Webb band, the last tune on the album, 40 Acre Blues. That's what I envision you coming out now and behind this album, coming out and kicking off a show with.
I mean, it's a barn burner.
It's nutty, is it? Yeah.
I hadn't recorded anything that fast in a while.
It's...
That song was written by Jeff Barbara, and he had sent me a demo of Randy Jones doing it. And I said, man, this is a great song, and it's a lot of fun. It's got some really, really good words to it, you know. And you think about, you know, all the people that farm for a living.
Yeah.
You know, the tractor's breaking down, and the whole story behind the song, you know, it's pretty much the farmer in the song is pretty much disgusted the whole time because, you know, the roof is leaking, the tractor's
yep.
breaking down, and, you know, you just kind of feel sorry for him in a way.
You do.
Up until during the whole song, but it goes by so fast.
Oh, man, it flies.
And it's got a mouthful of words.
You keep
it was a tough one to sing.
Well, I imagine you, especially if you haven't done something that fast in a while on record. But you keep in touch with all those things from your experiences in life. We talk about the coal mining and the farming aspect, and you do newer things too. Of course, things that you write, but you always, Daryl, you always have that connection, those things that were part of your life, and you bring those to every show and every record I think that I've ever heard or that you've done. So it's good that you do that. I mean, clearly you need to write and record and sing from your own personal experiences, and you always seem to do that.
Well, I appreciate it, Steve. I try to do stuff that I know that I think fits me, or just like you said, stuff that I've experienced in life, or, you know, or things that I can relate to from, you know, from growing up to being from seeing my dad in the coal mines,
yeah.
to being on the road to, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But it always, things that, you know, that I can relate to always turns out to make a great, great record, I think.
You, of course, you got a website, and we're talking to Daryl Webb about the new Daryl Webb Band album, Lover's Leap, which is on Mountain Fever Records. You have a website. People can find out where you're going to be and how to get a hold of this album. It's supposed to be released the 10th. I think by the time this airs, we will be probably beyond the 10th by a week or so. But it'll be available when people hear this. And your website, I guess, has tour information and stuff like that. Am I right? Tell them what that is.
It is. It's DarylWebBand.com.
It's easy. That's an easy one. You got a busy schedule coming up?
Yeah. I mean, between here and playing in Gatlinburg and Pigeon Forge and doing road dates, too, we stay really busy.
Okay. Well, man, go ahead.
Too much work is not a bad thing.
No, and you don't ever want it. No, it isn't, because you don't want to ever have it go by, because then building it up again gets difficult. But I would expect you'd be pretty busy. As busy as you want to be, Daryl, I believe the Daryl Webb Band can be, and Lover's Leap fits right in that whole line of the quality stuff that you always do, man. It's always been great. It's always great stuff.
Well, I really appreciate that, Steve. Thanks. That means a lot coming from you. I want to especially thank Mark Hodges and all the people at Mountain Fever and Laura Ridge, who does our social media publicity and everything at Deep River Management. Randy Graham at Graham Talent, who works hard booking us and getting the word out about us, and IBMA and everything that they do for the music.
Yeah.
All the people that come to see us and the fans, and it's a great, great world to live in.
You are a big part of that world. As we leave here, what song? I'm going to say goodbye to Daryl Webb. I'm going to play a tune from Lover's Leap. I started off the show with Lost John, and I want you to tell me what you'd like to play as we're going away.
How about Lover's Leap?
We can do that. We'll fit that right in there. All right. Good enough, man. Listen, go back. I know you just finished a set. You got stuff to do. You're probably tired, and I appreciate your time, Daryl.
Oh, you're welcome. Anytime. No problem, Steve.
I'll see you down the road. I guarantee it.
Okay, buddy.
See you, man. Bye.
Take care. Bye.